Welcome to Great I Am Radio, raising the vibration on everyday life matters with heart and soul. Here's your host, Rebecca Johns.
Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon. It is that time of the week. We get to get together again for conversations that breathe life, that raise the vibe on this opportunity we have. I'm your host, Rebecca Johns. I don't know if it's just me. It sounds like we've got some wind on the line. Hopefully we can get that remedied. Today we bring to you a conversation of truly awakening. And you know that with Great I Am Radio, we are an extension of the services and offerings of the Godly Woman and Heaven on Earth Ministries, where we stand for you activating your Great I Am, that part and particle of the divine that you are. We stand for you using it wisely, for you using it well, for you being in communion, if you will, with it. It's an opportunity each week to have conversations for life. Each an opportunity to hear from experts who have something to offer, whether it's a service or a good, that allows you to connect, to be guided, and to be empowered. Very often in my work, I work with people who we lovingly say are dealing with PTSD, post-traumatic church disorder, where they've hungered for spirituality, but the dogma of religiosity has taken over. And somewhere in 40,000 Christian denominations and all of the majors of Islam and Judaism and all of the other tenets of religions that have found their way in the world, somehow some of the most religious people are still struggling. And in my work, we really deconstruct the dogma to get to the spirit. And in the spirit, we find something. We find that there is one breath. We come from one source. In spirit, we find that there is a family of humankind. And in spirit, we get connected to our own personal soul. And that's where my guest today comes in. My special guest, first of all, I adore this person, personally and professionally. She has spent decades leading transformational seminars. Her clients are topping over 80,000 people around the world who have stood in her care and guidance and mentorship. She's got a very colorful past. She's been a helicopter pilot. I didn't know that part. A designer, a relief worker, a war refugee, and a CEO. She's been shot at, shipwrecked, and widowed. She's lived on a farm, a boat, penthouse, and an ashram. She has two master's degrees in philosophy. She worked for the United Nations. She's authored two books. One of them we're going to talk about today real specifically. And 5 years ago, she started her own company, Access to Awareness. Her every waking moment is dedicated to the creation of a new culture for humankind, one of integrity, care, gratitude, spirit, wellness, and cohesiveness. Her name is Sophie McLean, And I am grateful today to her, to bring her on the air and introduce to you her book, Awakening All Sleepwalkers. Welcome to the show, Sophie.
Rebecca, thank you for having me. Can you hear me well?
I can hear you well, and it seems like now that you've started talking, my background noise is gone, so that works out too.
Okay, good. I am so happy to be here and have that conversation with you.
It is my honor to have this conversation with you, Sophie. You know, it was over 20 years ago you and I met in the halls of an educational institution where we produced programs for people to have breakthroughs in their lives, living their greatest possibilities out. And so here we are today. Here we are today with another cut, and I want to say a deeper cut that you've brought to us in your book, but I would really like to hear from you as a person first, and to introduce you to our audience so that they
what
can
would know, you like to know?
Where you've come from, because you know your accent is a dead giveaway. So you've come from someplace in particular. and you know you have this colorful story, but how does a nice girl like you end up with a colorful past like that? Can you give us a little insight into your life personally?
Sure. So yes, I do have a French accent, and I even went to see a speech therapist trying to lose it, and after two sessions he sent me away saying, you have no chance to lose your accent. So there it is. But I'm a strange French woman, because I've lived in France only 5 years of my life. So I was born in Africa, brought up in Casablanca, Morocco. Then I went for 1 year in Paris, and then I went to England, and then I went to Los Angeles, Washington, D.C., New York. And a year and a half ago, I moved back to Europe, and I'm now on a small island in the middle of the Mediterranean called Minorca, which I absolutely adore. And I traveled all over the world. And how that happened, Rebecca, is that... I think I got a gift. I mean, I know I got a gift when I was 12 years old. I had an epiphany, if you want to call it that way. I come from a very loving family, but absolutely not conscious nor intellectual. It was all sports and love and, you know, emotions and feelings were not recognized as valid. But when I was 12 years old, I was in the garden in Casablanca, and I watched my family getting ready to sit down for dinner on the terrace, and the experience was like a download. I had four insights, one after the other. The first one was that the life I was living, my family, the environment I was in, was a cocoon and was not a reflection of what life was. Then straight away after that, there was another insight saying, all right, you need to go and experience as much as possible of life. From despair to joy. You need to go out there and experience everything. Then the third one came saying, until you discover that it's all an illusion and that's not who you are. And finally, there was an instruction, and then you can go and tell people about it. So I ran to my family. I think all that happened in no time whatsoever. I ran to my family, and I was so excited, and I told them, we live in a cocoon and it's all an illusion and we need to experience life and we need to tell people. And my parents looked at me as a 12 years old and gave me my nickname, the crazy one. And to this day, that's my nickname in my family, the crazy one. But you know, the truth is that that moment, which I have never forgotten, has impacted me enormously. I have lived exactly what was said to me when I was 12. I've experienced from joy to despair. I traveled the world. I experienced everything. I realized the illusion I was living inside of, and I'm now a wisdom teacher. So I fulfilled on the calling.
Beautiful. Such a beautiful story. And I love the accent, so I'm glad it hasn't gone anywhere. You have authored your second book,
and you
pose a particular question in your book that I would like you to speak about, if you would.
Sure.
And that is this: could the source of human despair simply be a persistent confusion about the nature of being?
Yeah.
You say that we are shifting from sleepwalkers to awakened homo spiritus, and that it's essential to reverse the trend of our culture and create awakening as a habit. Can you talk to us a little bit about this, the place of confusion and persistent confusion about the nature of being and the shift that you're teaching on?
Yes, I'll go a little bit round, Rebecca, if you don't mind, and then I'll go straight to answer your question, right? So let's pose a context for everything. Let's say that we incarnate because spirit or consciousness or God or the divine, call it whatever you want, spirit long to know itself experientially. Okay, so You cannot have only a conceptual awareness of who you are. So there seems to be a plan to our incarnation and life on Earth, and it really is the most extraordinary idea in all of the universe. Here it is. The idea is that you incarnate. Within a year or two, you forget who you really are. You think you are the opposite of who you really are, and when you discover that you came to know yourself as the opposite of who you really are, you will then know who you really are. So, to explain this simply, you cannot know who you really are unless you know who you are not. And that has been going on. You know, I did my thesis on Homer, which is 8th century before Christ. And if you read the Iliad and Odyssey, you will see that Homer speaks about human being exactly in the same way than we could speak about ourselves now. We have not progressed. We have progressed on every single front, except knowing what it is to be a human being and knowing the game of life. And it's time, because like Einstein said, our technology has surpassed our humanity, and that is very dangerous. If we don't awaken, it is dangerous. There is no more time. You know, I think the global crisis and everything we are going through is really a very extraordinary wake-up call.
There is no doubt that we are reaching some serious apex to what we are creating in the form of destruction. We're creating, but creating in the form of destruction in human being, in nature. One of the things you say in your book, Sophie, is that to deconstruct this cage, we'll call it the cage because I love the way you've architected the language that you use in this book, to deconstruct this cage that's really the bond of despair, we must put in just as much effort as it took to build it, you say in your book, and that a crucial component is that we need to expose the illusion that is called the automatic and unconscious ego. That's the cage. So can you talk to us about how does one identify the automatic and unconscious ego. It's like catching your shadow, no?
No, it's not. I actually can do it with your listeners now in 4 minutes if you want. I can just put the whole thing up.
Oh, yes. Yes, ma'am.
All right. So you do it with me, Rebecca, and you see if you have any question, okay? So, let's imagine that our life is a play, like a theater play. So to have a play, you need a genre, you need a main character, you need a supporting cast, and you need a script. Okay? So if you look at your life as a play, you will see you do have a genre. Now, you need to not say, you know, look at what you wish your life was, right? You really have to be authentic and look. Like, for example, my life was a Greek tragedy. But people have life like romantic movies or thrillers or spy movies or adventurers, right? But there is a genre. So once you get the genre of your life, then you look at the main character. So the main character is you, right? So how you know yourself. So there is a side of you that you like that allows you to win in life, and there is a side of you that you really, really consider as flawed. So that's the main character. So for example, for me, I was a superwoman. Like, that's the side of me that I really liked. I could accomplish anything. And the side that totally disempowered me was that I felt like nobody wanted me around. Like, I wasn't wanted.
Mm.
Okay? Mm-hmm. So whatever Superwoman did was never enough because ultimately I wasn't wanted, right? So that's the main character. You have some quality and some flaws. And you never get fired from your life, which is cool. You have a job for life. You'll always be the most important character in your life. So that's quite comforting. And then this main character has a relationship to the supporting cast. So the supporting cast is your family, your communities, your friends, your work colleagues, you know. And you have a very specific way as the main character to relate to the supporting cast. For example, Superwoman related to the supporting cast by being stoic, right? So I never showed an emotion. I was always fine. If my heart was broken, you would never know it. You know, that was my way to relate to people. Mm-hmm. And then the supporting cast, you can fire at will. You know, if somebody doesn't work on the play, you just can't fire them, right? You get divorced, you stop seeing some friends, your family is a bit more difficult, but, you know, you have the main character, you have a say in the matter. And then there is a script. And the script is the main character. How does the main character deal with the circumstances of life? So, and what kind of circumstances keep repeating themselves in your life? So for me, I had tragedies, right? One tragedy after the next. I was born during a war, was shot at with machine gun fire, and all the way to when I was 28 and my husband died 5 days after I got married. I mean, it never stopped for all those years.
Wow.
Until I did the exercise we're doing now, which I realized, all of it, the whole play, I created myself. The whole thing.
Wow.
And I believe it was true. That's the illusion. So that's what I said at the beginning of our conversation. I forgot who I really was upon entering the physical universe. I chose to create myself inside of a cage as a play with a main character and all I've spoke about. And it took me 33 years by paying the price of trying to be who I was not to remember who I really was. And that is what the book is about, in the simplest way possible, with drawings and quotes and exercises. And it is really as simple as I have said on this call, if you tell yourself the truth. If you lie and are inauthentic, then it obviously won't work.
I giggle because I do a live on Tuesday mornings on my multi-streams, and I said the exact same words. If you're going to keep pretending, if you're going to keep the fantasy, then we cannot shift reality. Let me ask you, what inspired you to create this book as a workbook, as a functioning guide? I think that really drives everything home. Personally, I love that you did it that way, but what inspired you to do it this way instead of just giving material and driving people to you to work with you directly?
I do both, right? But the guide is because of the global crisis, right? I'm working a lot, and I can take that many students. You know, I'm a one-woman show, so I do group courses and all that, but I have a lot of private clients, leaders that comes to me, so I can do that much. And in the face of all the global crisis and really being so entreating that we're living through one of the most exciting time of our evolution.
Yes.
Because I think we're going towards awakening as a species. But witnessing all the suffering, it literally happened in one moment, Rebecca. I took all my writing for the last 30 years and I said, I must give it away. Give it away. I don't know who will buy it, but I must not withhold anything. It is not mine. It is not my personal work. I have the wisdom of all the sage and the mystic before me. It doesn't belong to me. I need to give it away. And the guide was birthed in 5 months. Now, it is 35 years of work, but literally it took shape in 5 months.
Brilliant. Now, you say something in particular here that I would really love us to talk a little bit, especially, you know, as much limitation as we see in the world, we also see this strive for hunger and awakening, I guess, in a word. But there are a lot of words in the world that get thrown around and can get very trendy. Very trendy, and we're saying them, and we're not even connected to what they are, right?
Yes.
And you say something. You say that this shift of awakening is not, we're not talking about enlightenment. We're talking about an awakening. Can you give us some distinction in a world that's everybody's trying to be enlightened and everybody's got a guru and everybody's finding a way to a mountaintop and hearing the sound of one man clapping. Look at TikTok. Everybody's a master teacher, right? So what are you really talking about? If we're not talking enlightenment, what's awakening? What does awakening mean is different?
Okay, great. So let me first, in my experience, there are three dimensions, Rebecca, we operate in, right, as a spirit. There is a divine dimension, which is a total mystery that encompasses everything, and you can't talk about it. It's a total mystery, and as far as I'm concerned, it's a very intimate, private relationship between your human and the divine. I don't interfere in it. I mean, I support people answer questions, but it's so intimate. It's personal, right? So there is that divine dimension, and inside of the divine dimension, there is what I call the quantum dimension, The quantum dimension is there is no time, there is no space, but it's where the guide, the angels, the souls reside. It's a spiritual academy, if you want. And then mm-hmm. there is a material dimension. The material dimension is Earth in distance, time, and form. That's where we incarnate.
Yes.
So those three dimensions are connected by what the mystic called the river of life. So you can imagine it as you want, either a river or a flow of energy. It's not linear, but it connects all the three dimensions energetically or with consciousness. And somebody that is enlightened, like Buddha, for example, or Jesus Christ, is someone that can move up and down the river of life in three dimensions outside of time, totally freely. So they will present the divine on the material, vice versa. You know, the river of life is free of barriers, right? They operate in the three
yes.
dimensions. That's enlightenment. I am not enlightened. Now, I will let you
Thank
know
you
when
for
I
confessing.
Am.
Please, please send the message out. I would love that.
Being awakened is when you remember that who you are is your soul, and you have an experience of your essence as a soul, and that you have a human. You know how people say, I have a soul? No, you do not have a soul. You mm-hmm. are your soul, and you have a human. Mm-hmm. That is being awakened. So when you have the experience, and it's not, conceptually will make absolutely no difference, but when you have an experience of your soul, you as your soul, then you have access to be what I call soul express, meaning your human will then express on earth your soul intention. That is being awakened, when the source of who you are as a human is your soul, and you experience that. Being a sleepwalker is thinking and believing that you are a human having a spiritual experience. You're a spiritual being having a human experience. It's very different. Difference between sleepwalker and being awakened.
Sophie, in your experience of working with people in this context, where do you find they struggle the most?
In the practice, it's very simple to disentangle the illusion inside of with the cage you're talking about. It takes only 10 sessions, 12 sessions. It's fun, we're in a group, everybody finishes with an experience of their soul in awe and all that. It's really, really, really simple and beautiful. And then you need to practice because you've had years of identifying with who you are not. And I'm saying to you, okay, now you have to give up the mastery of surviving and you have to practice being alive. And practice is rarely welcome in my students. But the thing is, once you awaken, it's insufferable to go backwards, to pretend
yes.
that you don't know you're in a cage. So eventually they do it. But the one that seems to cause the most resistance is the practice. So I lead four session seminars of 1 hour. I have calls with my students, you know, I do mentoring, there is a book. I mean, I support everybody as much as I can because doing it by yourself is not as fun.
And sometimes not as effective, yeah? I mean, that interaction really, we are truly iron sharpening iron.
Are you there?
Sophie, I apologize. We had some technical difficulties and my mic went out, so nobody could hear me. But I'm here. I'm here. I apologize
okay.
for that glitch.
Okay, no problem.
What I was hoping to connect the dots on is I would like to later touch on your services, how people can access them and so forth. But for a moment, I'd like to talk about your vision. I know enough from what I've known of you already to know that
mm-hmm.
you operate inside of a calling and that you
yes.
operate inside of a vision that you really can see something for this world that doesn't exist right now, but it's buried like a jewel inside of this what we have. And so
yes.
can you tell us about that vision? What's that vision that you see for the possibility of human being outside of its cage? And how do you see that in the tenets of our world? Because this that you're talking about, uncaging humanity and identifying as a soul and having a spiritual sovereignty to then navigate life, like, you're going to change everything in the world. We're talking religion, sex, politics, money, family, everything. So, I mean, this is going to change. So what's your vision? What do you see for the potential of human being and for your work guiding human being?
What I see, Rebecca, is that it is possible, right? There is one question that people need to answer for themselves that is of prime importance, is that do you think that the pattern of strife coupled with brilliance that has been the history of our species since the beginning of time, right? We're capable of the best and the worst. Do you think we're doomed to repeat this pattern, or do you think something else is possible? I think something else is possible. I know something else is possible. I have personally experienced it. Every cell
yes.
of my body, my soul, my heart, everything screams that is possible. But if people are not willing to give up the resignation and cynicism that says nothing will ever change, we will not. Right? We will not. Now, here's the good news. We don't have anything to learn. We are all already divine, right? We come from the divine. We return to the divine. There is nothing to fix about yourself. There is nothing
mm-hmm.
to change about yourself. You already know everything. You're more beautiful than you can imagine. And you are pure love. And I'm including everybody in it.
Mm-hmm.
That is my vision. When I meet someone, Rebecca, I see the divine. Now, they might
yes.
misbehave, they might be obnoxious, jerk-like, whatever. But I really, after 100,000 students, I have never met a bad person. I've only
yes.
met people that did bad things and paid
yes.
dearly for them, right? So my vision is that everybody knows who they really are. It is exquisite to be finally home, where you do not have the need to fix yourself, change yourself, produce results, get somewhere you can never get to. It is truly exquisite, and I think that is a purpose of our incarnation. And that is what love is. Love is when you care enough to support someone to remember who they really are. And that is altruism, generosity, caring, and that is my vision for the world.
All right, y'all. So now imagine. Imagine it. Not waiting for a heaven. Not being afraid of a hell. Being brilliant already. Being love and light already.
Mm-hmm.
you put at the end of this, spoiler alert, okay, I'm doing it, spoiler alert. You say in your book as you close, you may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. You've surely heard those words somewhere before. And you leave us with, of course, an amazing, one of my favorites. I sing this one often. The song by John Lennon that really does ask us to imagine this possibility that you speak of.
Yes.
And you're right. It's going to take, I heard it. I felt it in myself. Sophie, and I'm already a dreamer with you, but I felt it. I felt my human, right? I felt her as you were saying what you saw, because I see it too. I believe in it too. I hold the truth of that possibility manifesting with you. And yet I could feel the voice of human as you were painting it with your words. Yeah, but...
So people ask me, how can you be so innocent? I'm 62 years old. It's very nice when somebody call you innocent at 62. But I tell them, it's a choice. Yes. If I choose resignation, that nothing will ever elevate or alter, and little children will go on dying of hunger, I will be frightened. I will spend my life pretending and looking good and being frightened of dying, or I will have the faith that I am perfect, that my soul, that who I am as a soul is so beautiful that my only job as a human is to express it in the world. Which game do you rather play? Mm-hmm. I have no idea which one is the truth, but I tell you what, when I play the game I'm playing, I'm inspired, I'm healthy, I'm filled with energy. I love, what a fun game. The other one sucks.
Yes, dreadful.
So choose. Stop agonizing over it and just choose. What game do you want to play? We don't know anything. We don't know where we come from. We don't know where we're going. We don't even know how we walk. But what we have is a power of choosing. You can choose what game you want to play. Come and play mine. It's really fun. And yours, Rebecca. It's fun to play the same game.
It's fun. It's fun to play these games. Well, and you know, you say that you know, you're too old to be innocent. And what I hear is, this is not some pretend fantasy you have, nor is it naivete. It is not also naivete. This is experience you have and I hear it in you, and I know you well enough to know. But this is for those of you listening as well. You don't have to be a world-renowned. You don't have to have taught 80,000 people. You know this too, that when you are in that place, when you are standing in your soul person, when you are present, you know, Jesus said in Aramaic, "Inana nuhorat alma," I am the light of the world. And that wasn't just him. He was saying, I am the I am that I possess, that you possess, that each and every human being who's ever lived and will ever live will possess. They are already the light of the world. That is when we have the most joy. That is when we have the most freedom. And there are barriers that must be addressed. And so I encourage my audience that's listening. You know, Sophie is a mentor to mentors, a trainer to trainers, a healer to healers. And so this book is going to be a great guide for you to have her on paper, easily accessible to you in your living room, in your car, in your bedroom, do the work at your own pace. However, there really are some of you that are listening that are thinking, I don't know. I kind of want to get into these group class things she's talking about. I want to work with her, right? And so for those of you that might kind of be feeling that vibe, I want to ask you, Sophie, if you would talk a little bit about how people who might resonate and want to reach out to you, how do they connect? Where are you in social media? Do you have groups? And how do they get to your classes?
Yeah.
Kind of give us a access portal to how we actually do business with you.
Yes. So I've made it very simple. The simplest way to find everything I do or where to find me, my YouTube channel, my Instagram, Facebook, private group, all that is to go to my website. On my website, you have everything. So, and it's very simple. It's sophiemclain.com. And all you, if you want my bio, is there. My courses, you click on it, it takes you to the courses. My Facebook address, my private group, everything is there. So I think that will be the easiest. If you don't want to go to my website for whatever reason and you don't remember my name, try typing Wisdom Teacher. I've never seen somebody calling them that. And maybe it should come up.
Wonderful.
Wisdom Teacher.
Yeah. And just so the audience is clear, Sophie is with P-H-I-E, and then McLean is M-C-L-E-A-N. Those of you that are following this channel and any of my social media, you're going to see the broadcast of this episode along with Sophie's website being promoted. So click, look, you know, share with other people. She's got a Facebook group. Is that the Thinking Consciously group?
It
or is that access
indeed.
To awareness?
Where
yeah, thinking consciously.
Everything.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. I love that group. So I'm in that group too. So join us. Come on over to Facebook, Thinking Consciously. Listen, even if you just dwell in the space, you will be impacted because what Sophie is putting out, she's transmitting a particular frequency. And so even if you're just catching her reels on Facebook and seeing the posts and the lives in her group, you're going to be exposed to conversations that elevate your thinking, your emotions, your physical functionality, and ultimately bringing that soul person to the forefront because it really is the hidden gem in this world underneath all of the density of our humanity. Sophie, I love this book. I have been working in it myself. Abby sent it to me, and I've been working in it. Are you planning another one?
Yes, I've already written most of it. It's not a guide. This one is a real book, and it is on the how to be a great human.
Okay.
Yes. Because everybody,
how do we get that?
I've never met a person that said, oh, I want to be mean and resentful and an ugly person. You know what I mean? So I talk about the feminine, the masculine, pleasure, happiness, joy, you know, just everything we encounter in everyday life. It will be out probably by the end of the year or something.
That is fantastic. I would love to see you do a K-12 version of that book and get it into schools.
Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be great? Yeah,
but the guide
is written so simply. I think that's the one that should go in the school.
The guide, yeah.
Yeah.
Listen, I mean, you know, I think that our children need to hear along the way who they really are. I mean, let's save our kids 20, 30, 40 years, you know? Like, let's give them a lighter cage to have to deconstruct when they're older. My kids will ask me at times when we're driving, you know, why is that happening with that person? You know, why is that person homeless? And why does that person have these things and this person doesn't? And I realized very early on that there's no good answer except that each one of us has our own journey as a soul.
Yes.
And there's lives that we will live if we are disconnected from that awareness. And then there's lives that we will live if we are connected to that awareness. And so you might still have hard days. on the life where you're aware. It doesn't absolve you of the human condition. It just puts you in the driver's seat. So do you have any words for people with children? How can they, I don't want to give away too much of the book, but you give people kind of some tips on how to walk back through life and see how they were constructed unconsciously to get in touch with themselves, awaken, if you will. But how can we support parents raising the new humans that are coming up, Sophie?
Yeah, Rebecca, I'm sure you know the saying of Gandhi, right? Be the change you want to see in the world. Everybody is a teacher. Everybody is a teacher. You either teach consciousness, awareness, or you teach surviving and unconsciousness and sleepwalking, right? So, but whatever you have, you give. You cannot give what you don't have. So parents, the best, but the most efficient, the only way to bring up a child is to remember who you really are. That is what you will teach to your children. You don't need gimmicks and rules, and I mean, you do, but, you know, that's not that important. But you cannot give what you don't have, so you need to do the work on yourself. It's not selfish. It is, in fact, very generous to make sure that you are not contributing to the suffering of the world, but you're somebody that can provide leadership by leading the way.
Those words bring tears to my eyes, Sophie. I hope as many of you that are listening let that really penetrate, that you're not selfish to take care of yourselves. I hear that every day in my practice with the godly woman, that they, a woman, my work predominantly with women, I feel guilty, Rebecca. I feel guilty spending money on myself, whether it's a new bra or a seminar or therapy or my favorite shade of lipstick. I feel guilty. I should be doing something for my kids. There's nothing greater. And I'm not saying you shouldn't get the things your children need, but I'm also saying there's no greater need of a child than an awakened parent.
That's
because
right.
Sometimes circumstances fly out of control. There are children being born to parents right now in war-torn villages, and it would really be great if in those circumstances out beyond those parents' control, obviously, if there was some awakening there, if we weren't in horrible circumstances and then in a diminished, disempowered mindset and experience about it as well, a double whammy. So put your oxygen mask on first. Put your oxygen mask on first, moms and dads. You deserve it, number one. But we need you. We, your children, on behalf of the children, we need you awakened. Sophie, I'm so proud of you. you're such you are superwoman, girl. You definitely got that on lockdown, and you are definitely sage and wise and soft with the spirit, and it's so beautiful to sit in the space with you. Any final words that you'd like to leave with our people today,
yes,
as we close?
Yes, I would like to say, I would like to express my love for you, if you don't mind. 20 Aww. Years ago, you contributed to me so much by presencing the spirit world while I was in action in front of a big room, and I have never forgotten it. I really want you to get that you have given a direction for my life just by what you had the courage to say to me that day. And I am so inspired to share this game with you. You know, I'm moved that you will do this radio show and interview people and everything you do that I don't even know. I thank you from the bottom of my heart, and it's great to be soul sisters.
We have just started to play, Sophie.
Yeah, that's right.
We've got so much playing to do. It's my honor. It is my honor. Listen, y'all, she's thanking me for something I said to her, but at the time, she was my mentor. And so to muster up the courage to say this thing from spirit to her, which was nothing negative at all, it was a blessing, but the guts that I had to muster up in my little human at that time to say words to her, to say to your mentor something. So I resonate back to you so much gratitude, because you taught me then. I was a young woman. I was not in my soul. Funny enough, I was grasping at straws with her, and she was fighting her way to the front. But I was at a season of my life where I hadn't yet, as many of my listeners know, I hadn't experienced my divorce from my first marriage. I hadn't experienced being raped. I hadn't had my Jesus encounter that brought me into a walk that has altered my I was this little thing coming out of its shell when you were teaching me, Sophie, who I could possibly be as a human, and presencing it as a woman who was powerful but still maintained her femininity and her beauty. And that is something I have carried with me ever since.
Oh,
so thank you, my
isn't
sister.
Isn't it amazing?
Thank you.
Yeah, that's what's possible, is this movement of give and take. It's delicious.
It is delicious. And we need each other, this fellowship of humanity, this I don't need anybody thing, I've never had anybody, I don't need anybody. It really, it's missing the whole point of being here. So thank you. Thank you for our give and take. I look forward to more. I look forward to hearing from you, my audience, what you thought about this. I've already gotten some text messages in as we've been talking with just, wow, and she's amazing. She's awesome. So all of you that have already messaged me during this hour, go get the book. Go get the book. Is it already out, Sophie? Is it on the market? Can be purchased already?
Yes. Now, can I say something about the guide? It's on Amazon.
Oh, yeah.
It's quite expensive because there is a lot of pictures and a lot of colors. So if it's too expensive for some people, you can download the ebook on my website, which is much cheaper. But if you can afford the book, it's much better because you can write in it. There is worksheets. So I try to
Wonderful.
Cover every financial level, the whole range.
Yes. Yes, and I appreciate that. I know my listeners will appreciate that. Do what fits your budget, everybody. Be responsible in that way. All right, Sophie, I look forward to seeing you again in the future. And in the meantime, I'm hanging out in your group on Facebook and soaking up the wisdom that you have to teach. God bless you, sister. Thank you for being here.
God bless you right back. Love you.
Thank you. Love you, too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Oh, my word, what a gift. Listen, who knew? Who knew 20 years ago, standing in some building for another company that we were both giving our energy to, that we were training in and giving training to other people, who knew that we would be here today sitting on the radio show and sharing my ministry, her book, my coaching programs, her coaching programs, and recognizing each other today for the contribution given 20 years ago. My beloved, she's right. We really don't know how much we don't know. And the opportunities that might be missed by hiding, by pretending. And let's just be honest about it. It's blatantly lying. And what a delicious opportunity to wake up. I've shared with some of you that when the Spirit called me into this work, I was given a message that the Spirit would send me the sleeping giants who are awakening. And the Spirit said, because waking up is tough. And we know how it is as people, right? your alarm goes off, you reach over to hit the snooze button, you knock over water into your slippers. Now you got to get up barefoot and you to the next room and you stub your toe and you're like, you know what? Forget it. I'm over it. I'm done. I'm just laying down. I'm going back to bed. I'm taking a sick day. And then you got to call and fake a sick voice and bury yourself in your covers until one and resent yourself by three. And you know, waking up is hard. And so it's helpful to have someone there for you saying, good morning. Hey, don't worry about that. I'll clean it up. Let me throw you a towel here. Let me get it for you. Hey, juice is already squoze. Come to the table. Someone who's already awake and set a place for you. That's such a brilliant gift. She calls her book a guide. She's a master linguist, by the way. When you read this book, she gives you vocabulary words. She literally begins the book with giving you language and deliberate language. And so it's okay that you've been asleep. It's the nature of our nature. But my darlings, it's time to wake up. So please visit SophieMclean.com. Join me next week for my special guest, Dr. Rocco Arrico, Nuhra Foundation, where we discuss one of the commentaries in his series. And this is a series that began with Dr. George Lamsa, who gave us the Aramaic Peshitta translation into English of the Holy Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, from Genesis to Revelation, and truly a delightful expose on what was really said, not just from the language, but the culture, understanding the true message of the Messiah and the evolution of that message through disciples. So join me next week to talk to Dr. Arrico. And of course, if you are looking to be in any of my classes, working with me one-on-one, joining my Facebook community, and making room in your life for heaven on earth, then please visit livinggodspromises.com. I believe that with this breath of life that flows in and through us as us, there's a promise. There's a promise in that breath. I got you. Is the promise. I got you. Do this. Do it. What a beautiful opportunity. So livinggodspromises.com. Remember that anything that you do with a godly woman, any dollar you spend, whether it's a service, a class, a product, 10% of all of the godly woman revenue goes to benefit Heaven on Earth Ministries, a nonprofit in the state of Michigan that serves people across the country and around the world. LivingGodsPromises.com. Of course, here at Great I Am Radio, we're excited to always welcome new people to the airwaves. So if you have been listening and you'd like to be on the show, please send us a message and let us know. Or maybe you've got a topic idea. Hey, Rebecca, could you ever get us a guest to talk about this? Send me an email. That is connect@greatiamradio.com. connect@greatiamradio.com. And I look forward to being with you next week. Peace.